I want you to go to Genesis chapter 16, and it's the very first verse. All right? Genesis chapter 16, and the first verse. You know how I do this, don't you? Spend a lot of time in the first verse, and then I kind of go on with the rest of it real quick. Well, not really, but this is very important because I want to ask you some people some questions, if you don't mind. Everybody there? All right. I'm going to read it in the old King James. Okay. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. There's only four other names that are listed in women, and Sarah is the fifth one. Three of them died in the flood. The first one was Eve. Now we have a name, and I would like for you to think about the name. What do you think Sarai, what do you think it means? Princess. Or what do you have been told me? Yes?
Princess.
Mother. I'm sorry, what?
Mother of the nations? Or mother,
No, not that one. That's not what the name means. That's all I'm telling you. To close to one thing, Sarai, literally in English, or transliterated, means my princess. Okay, now, I want to go back in time, not really far back in time. There's something very special about the English language that was written in 1611. All right? We use a word, and they still do it in England today, but in America we very seldom ever. Most women consider it an insult to call themselves a lady. But in England, what was a lady? Who was the lady?
Wife of the Lord.
Correct. The word lady is a title. The word lady is a position of a female or of a woman. Right? So keep this part in mind. In ancient England, they knew what lady meant. It was one of honor. One of to look up to. One to do not speak evil against. Do not find fault with. She is the lady. Remember there was one called Lady Di? Remember her? Not too very long ago. She's died. However, they called her lady. It wasn't because she's a female, because she had a title. They don't use that in the United States because we think, that's monarchy stuff. Who cares? Right? Now, Sarai has a very interesting name, and yes, it does mean princess. But we're going to find out a little more in detail. Because this is not just an ordinary female. This is a lady that received what is called a title. Sarai is not a name. It is a title, a position that she was in. And that's why she must be respected and honored. In this chapter, we're not going to go through that. Next week, God willing, we'll end this chapter, or bring the chapter of why what took place between her and Hagar. But right now, I just want to think about her name. All right? Now, yes, it does say, or princess, or my princess, literally. And now, some have a definition that came from another Hebrew word of sarar, which means to cut. But in the Bible, when you look at the word cut, also means, or only means, when you cut into your flesh to do something, to mar it up, to put what we call tattoos, or we scar it up, and that's against God. So that's not really what it really came from. But I want to ask you a question. We're going to jump forward real quick here. Why did Yahuwah, God, Elohim, change her name to Sarah or Sarah? Do you think it's because he kind of liked that name? No. Oh. Yes.
To include her in the covenant that he gave Abraham? Or
Abram at that time, right. Now, what's interesting about this name, I want you to think about it, because now we're going to go some biblical Hebrew words, and we're going to find out how often this word, the word Sarah, shows up. And it's not a name. It is a position. So now we look at Abram, and when God changed his name, he also changed her name. So she is to be one who is to be honored above most. In fact, all women like Abraham is to be honored above all men. All right? Remember, Abram was a name after the fact, not before. He wasn't born with high exalted father. And neither was Sarah named or born with the name high exalted or a lady, a title. Now let's go through some scriptures now. It really comes from being a noble woman. Now what's a noble woman? One that has nobility. Okay? One that has a, not just a, oh, you're a noble lady. No, in our country, in our times, and even in England's time today, that doesn't mean much. But way back in 1611, when you call a woman a noble lady or nobleman, she was someone who was in a position. Basically, the Lord's or one of the Lord's wife.
Or daughter,
if he didn't have one. Right.
They have blue blood, but
so it's very interesting to know. So it's basically meaning that Sarah is not a name of and by itself. It's a position that the eternal creator of heaven and earth placed her in that position. How, remember what Abram? God said to Abram, I will exalt you. I will elevate you. I will make your name known. And that's why his name is Abram. For those who don't know what Abram means, it means the exalted father. He wasn't born with that name. He became that way when God said, I am going to exalt you above all. And he did. Now, Sarah is being exalted. And the reason why I have Sarai before, isn't that that's what he, that is Abram, called his wife what? My lady. My noble one. My honorable one. My respected one. It wasn't just a name he rattled off because, oh, she was born with it. No, it was her position. And God changed it to be a one of greater position. Like he changed Abram's name to be of a greater position. It was changed to what?
Abraham,
meaning the exalted father of many. Now, instead of Sarai being the my lady, my noble lady, it is now our noble lady. We are now part of Sarah. You ever thought about you were part of Sarah? No, because you don't think you're of that line? Well, faith, she had learned how to faith, like Abraham had learned how to faith. Let's turn to a couple places so we can kind of have a picture here. Lamentations, book of Lamentations, chapter 1. Lamentations, chapter 1. It's talking about a specific city, right? All right, Lamentations, chapter 1. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow is she? She was great among the nations. The Sarah among the providence had become a slave. That word where it says princess, the name is Sarah. The word is Sarah, same name as Abraham's wife. Oh, now we look at Jerusalem, right? We have this song that God's going to exalt that city once again. To exalt that city, and that city will be known as Sarah, or Sarah, we had it in our English language, but Sarah. So it's an exalted one that God has exalted and will exalt again. Let's go to, because we're going to go here in this book, go to Esther. Esther, chapter 1. Esther, chapter 1. This time it's in a plural form. And I'll twist the English language around here for a minute so you can get the picture of it. Esther, chapter 1. Everybody there? Why you be there sometimes anyway? 18. This very day, the Sarahs of Persia and Medes will say to all the king's officials that they have heard of the behavior of the queen, of the Sarah. Okay, the Sarahs will hear all of the behavior of the Sarah, the king of Persia. Interesting, right? Now let's go to Isaiah. So my sermon not going to be very long, very short here today, because we want to get into this little thing called Purim. 49. Isaiah 49. I'm sorry. Isaiah 49. I want you to learn to think about this name, because we go through and learn a little bit about Sarah. We need to know why she was called that. She wasn't born that way. She was a noble lady, an honorable one, a respected one, one who has a position. And she did have a position, right? She was positioned. She was the wife of the exalted father of many. She is just as important. Not less than, but just as important as Abraham was. Abraham is. And Sarah is as that important. Now, from her came a lot of Sarahs. All right. This is, I'm taking the English word here. And it says now, verse 23. King shall be your foster fathers, and their Sarahs, their nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of the feet. Talking about the Sarahs of the Goyim nations. Isn't that fascinating to know her name? So when you go and you read her name and you think about her name, it's just not a name. It's not a name of princess that we have when we say, oh, you're the princess little girl. Yes, you're such a princess. No, that's not the word in Hebrew. The word in Hebrew has nothing to do with a little girl being a princess. It has to do with a woman being honorable, noble, and respected. She was, in the title of ancient English, she was a lady. It's a title. It's not a sexual thing. It's a title. It's a position in ancient England. I think some still have it today. All right. And so it's very interesting, isn't it? To get to know a little bit about this. Now I'm going to break it down a little bit further so we can understand where the word came from. Where the word Sarah came from. Where do you think it came from? Sarah is a female noun. What is the male noun?
Sodder.
Sodder. Hey, look around. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? We don't have it here. We have one of the banners that says Sodder. Yeshua's Sodder. And now when we use that word Sodder in Hebrew, what do you think it means? It means a prince, a ruler, a chief, a leader, an official, a captain. It's a title, position. And we know that Yahshua is a Sodder, right? I want you to get to the point so we can see a parallel here for just a minute. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, sorry, I was just saying Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace.
Yeah, right. The captain of it. He's a... Hebrews, he says, in our, he's a captain of our salvation. He's a sword of our salvation. He is the prince of our salvation. He is the, and not a king. Not yet. That's right, not yet. All right. Now, because Sarah is not yet queen. All right, now listen very carefully to what I'm trying to tell you. Because I hope to be able to get a picture here. I'm going to move it in the spiritual world here in a minute. But I want to finish on with this statement. We're going to see some of the actions of Sarai later on in the chapter. And we're going to find out how she had to learn to live up to the title, as all women will have to learn, as Abram had to learn to live up to the exalted Father. We will get there in time. Okay, but not today. We may not fully understand all the actions, but we will as time goes by. Eve was the first woman mentioned, remember? What was she known for? Why was she given that name of, not Eve, but it really is Chava? What's that name mean?
Mother of all the living.
That's right. Mother of all, not the dead, but the living. Now, it's a spiritual concept. Keep this in mind for a moment, will you? Because I'm going to lead you now into something else. Okay? When God put Adam, into what? Before he brought forth Eve.
Deep sleep.
A deep sleep. All right. Now, when he put Adam into deep sleep, what did he pull from him? Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That is a prophecy, my people. I mean, the people of God here. A prophecy which we need to be able to understand some. Because in our brain, flesh and blood, human brain, we can't picture any woman coming from any man whatsoever. Right? Men come out of women. Women come out of... But men don't produce. Oh, but he was asleep. A deep sleep. All right? It's a parallel. What do you think the parallel is going to meet you? Huh?
How about when Yeshua
went into deep sleep.
Yeah.
And the woman, the church, the ecclesia did not exist until after he was brought forth. And then the ecclesia, which is of the body of the Messiah, will be joined with the Messiah as Eve was joined with and came from and out of Adam. So the body of Christ, or the church, or the ecclesia, the believers, come from out of the dead body, or the one that was asleep. Deep sleep. Do you see the parallel? That's why there's a first Adam, that's why there's a second Adam. The second Adam pictures and tells you what the first Adam was all about. And why the woman came from him. She didn't come from the ground. She didn't come from dirt. She came from out of him on the flesh. Now it moves the spiritual realm. Yes.
Are you referring to the deep sleep being his 3 days and the...
Yes.
Okay, but the church, his disciples existed before that. So
I'm sorry, what?
How
they were part. They were not church. The church did not form until after, and even on the day of Pentecost, we call it, that's when the Spirit of God came and made them live alive. They came from out of that. They didn't exist before. Yes. He said, I will build my ecclesia. He didn't say, I am building. I will build my ecclesia. It has to come afterwards. Yes.
Because just as bone and flesh, so blood and water, the blood of the covering of the sin, and then the water of baptism. I mean,
which
you
is
have
life.
The ecclesia then springing up out of
it. Every one of us has to be baptized into his deep sleep. If I could do that. And we come out of his deep sleep, out of his death, a new person, a new body, a new group of people. You understand what I'm saying? The parallel is so obvious between Adam and being bone of my bone coming out of him. It didn't come out of... If she was created out of the dirt, guess what? She's as he. But because of this, what does Scripture say? A man shall do what?
Leave
his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. The Messiah is doing the same thing. Yes.
That's very probably where Paul comes up with this whole, in Romans, when he's talking about Yeshua, the last Adam. I mean, really, that's probably, he's already made that connection.
Right. Now, when will the wedding supper be? Not for a long time yet.
When the bride has made...
What are we supposed to do? I'm sorry, what?
When the bride has made herself ready.
Right, when the bride has made herself ready. I'm often thinking when Eve was formed, she probably looked at herself and says, oh, I got to make myself ready. I don't know what she said. It doesn't say, but it's kind of fascinating of and by itself to think about this. Mm-hmm. The man, woman, why the word woman or Isha? Because it came from the man. It's a spiritual concept. The body of the Messiah, you and me, come from his body. Right? Spiritually. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Am I kind of off on a tangent? I don't think so. Because now Sarah means one who has a captain, a ruler. Now we can understand a little bit more why God said to Eve, your desires will be toward who?
Your husband.
Your husband. And the church, the body, the ecclesia that the Messiah is forming is to do what? Do what?
To be towards her husband, the Messiah.
And his desires. Whatever his desires is, that's what we should aim for. That's what we should be doing. Not for our desires, our wants, our needs, not our economic funds, not our job, not our world, but his. Mm-hmm. All right. And that was to be a blessing, not a cursing. That was the very beginning. Yes. She was created for one reason. And the church, ecclesia, is created for one reason. Not to rule, not to have authority over, but to be a Sarah. To be a Sarah. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Any comments? I thought that was very interesting. I researched her name. And I said, man, that's more than just a name. That's a position. And as Sarah was in position and her desires was unto her husband, so must ours be. In the same manner, in the same way.